WFAE has been examining the crisis in North Carolina's mental health system. Among our findings, criminal defendants who were too mentally impaired to stand trial can wait for more than a year for a bed so they can get just enough treatment to be competent for court. Now the state is piloting a program to help address that problem. In this ninth installment of our series, Fractured, Dana Miller-Irvin looks at a plan to let many inmates get their competency restored without leaving jail. And it's starting in the Mecklenburg Detention Center.
Sheriff Gary McFadden walks towards a new unit in the Mecklenburg Detention Center. It's the first in-jail restoration program in the state.
Okay, so this is the unit that houses our men and men. Who's going through capacity restoration, and what we do is try to keep it quiet.
We're not allowed to see the residents, but the sheriff says it's a basic correctional environment with concrete walls and floors and 10 cells opening onto a large group space.
They have more space than some of the other units. We have a space where it's like a day room and a place where they can use the phone and see TV and just be relaxed for a moment.
All 10 inmates suffer from mental impairments so severe they can't understand their charges or assist their lawyers. They're here for the mental health care they need so their cases can move forward. This program isn't open to everyone. Inmates who are extremely ill or dangerous will still need to go to a hospital. But those who have been living peaceably in the jail and taking their medications can skip the line and try to get well enough in jail.
You're going to have a caseworker or a social worker. You're going to be seen daily. You're going to go through therapy. You're going to go through the medication. And we're going to have you in settings where you are heard.
A psychiatrist is available by telehealth 2 days a week to adjust medications. Two social workers provide therapy and group sessions 4 hours a day, like classes that help inmates understand the legal system. They may learn by watching clips from courtroom films or by performing mock trials. That education is usually a big part of capacity restoration. The first inmate arrived here in December. So far, 17 jail residents have entered the program, the staff says. 10 have been deemed restored by the program psychologist. That means they can assist in their defense, but it doesn't mean they're cured. He found one inmate is so sick, he'll have to go to the hospital program. Another is, quote, unrestorable. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services says it's pleased with the early results.
Should be right here. We want to be a model for the state because if you talk to sheriffs across the country, this is what they deal with. People being incarcerated and do not have the capacity to proceed.
The program is run by a private equity-backed contractor, WellPath Recovery Solutions. It runs in-jail capacity restoration programs in 3 other states, including a 6-year-old program in California that's similar to the Mecklenburg jail pilot. Results in California show that 3/4 of the patients there were restored last year. Restoration took an average of 61 days per patient. WellPath Recovery Solutions is a division of WellPath, one of the largest jail and prison healthcare companies in the nation. It operates in more than 350 jails and 135 prisons across the country, including Mecklenburg's. WellPath and its predecessor company have been sued repeatedly, accused of providing inadequate health care. And a recent report by the Massachusetts Disability Law Center criticized a WellPath hospital there, writing that it was unsafe. But a 2022 review of the lawsuits involving WellPath Recovery Solutions inpatient psychiatric facilities found the amount of litigation against the company was in the normal range compared to similar facilities. It said there were no red flags with regard to quality of care. That review was done by the New Hampshire Assistant Attorney General. A company official told WFAE that they agree. And so far, its Mecklenburg Capacity Restoration Program, called RISE, is getting some good early reviews. Mecklenburg Defense Attorney Tim Emery says so far he's impressed with the jail's RISE program.
I have had one client who was successfully restored through RISE. And I think they did wonders for him.
Emery won't mention his client's name because of attorney-client privilege. Police arrested the 32-year-old on May 24th of 2022 for trespassing at the Charlotte Convention Center. Trespass is a misdemeanor. Then he was charged with spitting on the arresting officer's shoe. That's a felony. He was subsequently found incapable to proceed and was in custody for about a year by the time he went to the jail restoration unit. Emery says someone who wasn't mentally ill would have been out months before.
It was great because in that situation, what he had was a gob of misdemeanor charges, right? Basically nuisance crimes, and it allows him to get out, and it allows him to get into a therapeutic, probationary, you know, wellness court program.
Even with the wellness court program to get him more mental health care, Emery's client died a few weeks later of a drug overdose. Emery says he would like to see more emphasis on treatment and less concern about just restoration.
The goal is to get the person restored so they're capable to be prosecuted, right? The goal is not to help them have a mental health transformation where they are, you know, successful. It's like if that happens along the way, great.
North Carolina's Secretary of Health and Human Services, Cody Kinsley, says outpatient restoration units not only help inmates stuck behind bars, they also shorten the line for anyone who needs a psychiatric hospital bed, including those who wait weeks or even months in North Carolina's emergency rooms.
Second to Medicaid expansion, as far as system redesign, there's probably not something that is a bigger win and more transformational for so many people than fixing the way we do capacity restoration in our state.
And he says sending everyone who needs restoration to a state hospital is wasteful. Some don't need all that care, and some need it only for a time, while doctors figure out which medications they need. And a lot of what happens in capacity restoration is really just education.
We then have psychiatrists and therapists and other people teaching these individuals civics. This is a judge. This is a jury. And not the best use of their skills or time.
It's also expensive. Kinsley says a state hospital bed costs about $1,400 a day. That's compared to $590 a day for each inmate in Mecklenburg's restoration unit. And since outpatient restoration is faster, the total bill is a lot lower. That cost differential is one of the reasons at least 10 states from Virginia to California have jail-based restoration units. It's a response to a national competency crisis, says University of Virginia professor Daniel Murray.
Almost every state is struggling with this to some degree. And a few dozen states already have faced legal action. So there is something about this that is not at all unique to any one state, but is a national phenomenon.
Even states under court orders to reduce wait times have a tough time reaching their goals because the number of people who are found incapable to proceed keeps growing, Murray says. One possible reason, an increase in the use of drugs like methamphetamine and high-potency marijuana, which can trigger psychosis, Murray says. Another, the increase in homelessness and the lack of available mental health care.
Many, many people found not competent are facing only misdemeanor charges, probably because so many people with serious mental illness who are caught in the legal system are caught up in the criminal legal system for pretty minor charges.
In North Carolina, at least half of those who wait for an initial competency evaluation are charged with misdemeanors, according to NCDHHS. Most will never get a hospital bed because they can't be held past the maximum sentence for their charges. And if they do get a bed, they probably won't stay long enough for much care. Which raises the question,
is this a waste of money?
It's sure not efficient. In our research, we have found it's expensive to restore people facing only misdemeanor charges. By the time they are restored, most of them just have the charges dropped. And then they are released to the community, often without further services.
Murray also says there's a debate about whether capacity restoration should take place behind bars in the first place.
On the one hand, you have some folks who say it absolutely makes sense to start restoration in the jail. On the other hand, you have advocates who say a jail is never going to be a therapeutic environment like a hospital is. It can't replace inpatient restoration.
The group Disability Rights North Carolina is in the camp that believes jails can never be the right place for restoration. The group's supervising attorney, Susie Pollitt, calls it a non-starter.
Jails are destabilizing settings for people with behavioral health challenges. They're isolating. They separate people from community.
Pollitt wants the state to build secure residential facilities to provide restoration for defendants facing violent charges who can't be released to the community. As of this month, some inmates are now able to get capacity restoration in the community. Some of those charged with misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies will be able to go to an outpatient program. Dr. Sharif Solomon heads the unit at Atrium Health in Charlotte, and he takes us on a tour.
This breezeway area includes cottages where a lot of our outpatient treatment happens.
It's a small brick building surrounded by trees. Birds are chirping. It looks nothing like a jail.
We are now walking into Cottage E, which is home base for the community-based capacity restoration program at Atrium.
The unit will serve 20 patients. Defendants will live at home if they have one. Solomon thinks some will be homeless, so a case manager will try to help them find housing. But he admits that finding housing can be challenging for this population. Defendants will come to this cottage several times a week for medication management if they need it. Like the programs in the hospital and the jail, there will be a lot of education about the court system. They'll discuss newsworthy court cases and watch courtroom films. And there will be therapy and substance abuse treatment for those who need it.
And is this where they're going to play My Cousin Vinny?
Possibly, among other things. We sometimes use real trials as well to illustrate trial procedure and also to help educate patients about the sort of decisions that could come up during a criminal trial.
But Solomon wants his program to go further. He wants to move his patients into continuing care after their legal problems are resolved.
That's one of the things that makes this program so exciting. We can begin capacity restoration in the community, and more importantly, we can begin the process of engaging that patient with treatment.
Wake and Cumberland counties are starting community-based restoration programs too.
You know, it doesn't take many jail-based units and community-based units throughout the state to essentially clear the waiting list from the state psych hospitals. This is a win-win-win-win opportunity.
But while three community programs are coming online, so far only Mecklenburg Detention Center has been willing to sign up for a jail-based program. Kinsley has long been trying to get jails in Wake and Cumberland, too. The department says they've probably been waiting to see how the Mecklenburg program works first. The department is even talking about mobile capacity restoration teams to operate in rural communities. But all that will likely require stable funding. Right now, the community-based restoration pilots are funded with federal block grants, and the Mecklenburg Jails pilot gets funding from a trust fund with limited monies. That means the legislature still has to sign on. For WFAE News, I'm Dana Miller Irvin.
The series was edited by Greg Collard and Aaron Texera. Our researcher is Mona Dugani. The podcast is edited and produced by me, Eric Thiel, at WFAE in Charlotte. Fractured is a collaboration between WFAE and the PBS series Frontline through its local journalism initiative, which is funded by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.